Morning, everybody. Morning. Title of my lesson this morning is When Love Meets Love. When Love Meets Love. And this is coming from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to this section. Let's go ahead and begin by reading it. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, and he said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gave me not water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, and wiped him with the hairs of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. I think this is my favorite section of Scripture in the Bible. To me, this is one of the most touching stories in the entire Bible. It shows our Lord's love and compassion for those who have been caught up in sin. The Holy Spirit, of course, is the author. The penman is Luke. And if you've read through Luke, you know that on more than one occasion, he focuses on the plight of the sinner. He focuses on the great love and the forgiveness that is given to those who will humble themselves, those who will recognize themselves as a sinner and who will seek forgiveness. The prodigal son is just one of many examples that we could go to in Luke chapter 15. This story is found only in the book of Luke. Now, it is similar to the account of Mary washing the feet of Jesus. We read about that in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John chapter 12. But this is clearly a different event in many different ways. This is a beautiful story and gives all sinners, even those who consider themselves to be the worst of sinners, it gives them the hope of salvation. God loves you tremendously and he wants to forgive you. Think about that. He loves you tremendously and he wants to forgive you no matter what you've done in your past. As I studied this, I thought about all the valuable lessons that can be taken from it. I thought about all the different ways that people might look at this and where their focus might be. And as I began to work on this, I had several different titles for this lesson. The first one was very simple, Woman Sinner Washes Christ's Feet. And then I thought, no, The Grateful, Faithful, Forgiven Sinner. And then I thought, no, The Peace That Comes Through Forgiveness. And then I settled on When Love Meets Love. As we study this, you might have a different idea of what you would title this lesson. God's word is alive and it's powerful. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, and it touches different people in different ways, and we draw different things from his word. So let's just go ahead now and dig into his word and begin again there in verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and he sat down to meat. The Pharisees considered themselves to be the religious elite. They were the strictest sect of Judaism, and they were for the most part opponents of Jesus. We see them time and time again in the scriptures opposing Christ, trying to destroy his teaching, trying to destroy his reputation, and even trying to destroy his life. We remember how Jesus responded to them in Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus says over and over again, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites." They saw themselves as righteous, and the people looked up to them as righteous. But Jesus saw that they were hypocrites. They were just pretenders. They were not the real thing. We're not sure of the motive of this Pharisee, Simon, but he asked Jesus to come and share a meal with him, and Jesus accepted the invitation. Luke records a few different occasions where Jesus sat down to eat with the Pharisees. We see that in Luke chapter 11 and verse 37, also in chapter 14 and verse 1. But we know Jesus also sat down and ate with publicans and sinners. In fact, it was the scribes and the Pharisees that asked Jesus' disciples. They said, "How is he that he eats and drinks with publicans and sinners?" In Mark chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Do you remember Jesus' response to their question in verse 17? He says, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, the irony of that incident, as well as the irony of the story that we are studying today, is that the Pharisee doesn't realize that he is the one that is sick, that he is the one that is needed forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 37. "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharaoh's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment." This woman was a sinner. As Jesus and the Pharisee and others reclined and they were eating, a woman comes into the room. This woman had a very bad reputation. Some people might assume that she was a harlot or a prostitute, but we don't know if she was. We don't know that to be true. We do know that she had a very bad reputation. She was considered to be very sinful. She was considered to be wicked. And she would not be a welcome guest to the Pharisee. She would not be a welcome guest to those who would look down upon her as a bad person. But she didn't come to see them. She came to see Jesus. And when she heard that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, she took that opportunity and she came to see him. The custom of the time was for invited guests to remove their sandals and to recline on their left elbow or their side with their feet outward from the table. I don't know how that can possibly be comfortable. I've tried to do it myself. But they would lay on their left side of their elbow and they would have their feet out away from the table. It was also a custom at that time for uninvited guests to come into the room and they would sit behind the guests as they ate. And they would listen to the conversation and sometimes they would even join in the conversation. So it's not unusual for someone to visit a meal like this, but it must have been highly unusual for a woman with her reputation to visit the meal of a Pharisee. She brought a gift with her. She brought an alabaster box of ointment. Alabaster was a stone of some kind, and it was used to make small jars that were filled with perfumed ointment. And so think about it. This woman came to give to Jesus, not to take from him, not to see what she could get, but she came to give to Jesus. In verse 38, "and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment." She came to Jesus and she gave of herself. She approached her Lord's feet and she began weeping. And in the original language, it's clear that she's crying out loud. She's crying audibly. She's so full of emotion. She's so full of gratitude toward Jesus that the tears are flowing from her eyes to the point that she's able to wash his feet with her tears. She wipes his feet. She cleanses them with her hair. She kisses his feet, and then she rubs the perfumed oil on them. The humility of this woman is an example to every single one of us. Is there any doubt here that she loved Jesus? Is there any doubt that she recognized her need for his forgiveness? Is there any doubt here that she was grateful for his love? Grateful for his mercy? When I read this, I see that this woman gets it. She understands the magnitude of what Christ has done for her. She gets it. But how many of us get it? If you've never been moved to tears over what Christ has done for you, the love that he has shown you, the forgiveness that he has extended, then I wonder if you get it yet. Now in verse 39, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. And notice he's not speaking out loud, but speaking within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. When the Pharisee saw it. Now in my mind's eye, when I see this woman's actions, I see them as beautiful. I see them as loving. And I see them as inspiring. But the Pharisee saw this as an interruption by a sinful woman. He probably saw it as appalling. He was probably embarrassed. And so he begins to reason within himself. In his mind, he's thinking Jesus cannot be a prophet, because if he were a prophet, he would know who this woman is. And he would not allow such a horrible and filthy sinner to touch him as she was doing at that time. To the Pharisees, she was someone who was not worthy of attention, someone that needed to be avoided. Jesus and the Pharisee didn't see the same person when they looked at her. I want to read an article that I found on the internet. It was taken from an article by Michael Burns. And he was actually commenting on a book that was written by a missionary and what this missionary had written. And I'll read it directly. He had gone to spend a week working with an inner city mission group in a large American city. This particular group walked the streets of this major metropolis during the hours of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. every single day. They wanted to talk to people, meet people, help those in need, and just be seen regularly so that they would be trusted and known. He said that on the first night that he actually went out with the program director, they passed by a young lady who was dressed quite scantily and provocatively. He waited until they passed by and were out of hearing range, and then he asked the director if that woman was a prostitute. He recalled in his book that it seemed like such an obvious thing that he was quite surprised that the program director took several seconds to answer. And when he finally did answer, his response was shocking to the author. He said quite firmly, and even with a little bit of a rebuking tone, he said, "No, she is not a prostitute. She is a human being that is currently in prostitution." That night, the author learned how quick he was to categorize and therefore dehumanize human beings who have been created to be in God's image bearers. Do we look at people and do we just look at their sin? Do we just see a prostitute? Do we just see a fornicator? Do we just see a drunkard, a drugger, a filthy mouth person? A sinner of some kind? Or do we look and do we see the human behind all of that? The human that needs the forgiveness of Jesus, just like we all do. If you're practicing prostitution, if you're practicing fornication, then yes, you are a prostitute or you are a fornicator. But you don't have to stay that way. God calls you to recognize your sin. He calls you to turn to Him so that you can be forgiven. And what is sad is that sometimes even after people turn away from their sin, even after they become Christians, we still see them as the way that they used to be. So Simon sees this woman as a sinner. And he thinks that Jesus cannot be a prophet because he obviously does not know what kind of woman this is that is kissing his feet. Well, Simon is about to be schooled, not only on who Jesus is, but also on what this woman has done compared to what he has done. Look at verse 40. Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Now remember, the Pharisee hadn't spoken these things out loud. But Jesus, you didn't have to speak out loud to Jesus. He knows what's in the hearts of all men, Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. So Jesus had heard his thoughts. In verses 41 and 42, Jesus tells a parable. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? So he tells a parable of someone who lent money to two different people, and one of them owed 10 times as much as the other. And neither one of them were able to pay it back. And so the lender forgave them both. He forgave their entire debt. And he asked which one of them will love the lender the most. Which one will appreciate it the most? And so Jesus asks a very simple question with a very obvious answer. Now oftentimes parables were used to get someone to admit the truth before they realized that that truth applied to them. How many times do we see that? Reminds me of Nathan the prophet. Remember him approaching David and telling him the story of the man who just had the one little ewe lamb which the rich man took and killed? And David said, that man that has done this shall surely die. And then Nathan said, well, you are that man. So Jesus asked Simon a very simple question with an obvious answer. And in verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Simon answers correctly. And Jesus confirms that he has given the correct answer. And now he's going to show how she who was forgiven the most has loved the most. You ever notice the huge difference here between how she treated Jesus and how he treated Jesus? Look at verses 44 through 46. He turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Jesus wants Simon to look upon this woman and listen to how she has treated him compared to how he has. Simon, if you read this and understand the custom of the time, he was actually a very disrespectful host. He failed to even practice the common hospitality. But not her. She went the opposite direction. Simon didn't give him any water to wash his feet. She washed his feet with her tears. Simon didn't anoint his head with common oil, but she anointed his feet with costly ointment. Simon did not greet Jesus with a kiss, but she smothered his feet with kisses of gratitude. It's so ironic here that the Pharisee is looking down upon this woman when really he should be looking down upon himself and not be judging her by her past sins. This reminds me of the Pharisee and the publican. Hold your place there and turn just real quick a few pages to Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. goes perfectly with what we're studying this morning. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And there in verse 9 it says, He spake this parable unto certain, notice, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And he says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one is a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood, and if you look at the Greek, he's standing in a way that he can be seen. You can almost imagine him standing there with his chest puffed out. And he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Look, God, how good I am. I'm not like this publican. Verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Look at all the good things that I do. Look how good I am. But then the publican in verse 13, standing afar off, not standing up there to be seen, but afar off, he wouldn't even lift up so much his eyes into heaven. But he smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican gets it. He knows he's a sinner. He knows that he must rely on the mercy of God. And in verse 14, Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. We have to recognize ourselves as sinners and in dire need of the mercy of God. Now go back to Luke 7. In verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Yes, this woman was a sinner, and yes, she had committed many sins, but her sins were forgiven. In fact, Jesus is saying here that her sins had already been forgiven. If you look at the original language, her sins were already forgiven in the past. The New American Standard and the NIV says, have been forgiven. So she'd already been forgiven by Jesus. And she was there showing her tremendous love and thanksgiving for the forgiveness that she had already received. She had been forgiven much, and she was showing much love in return. And that's where I came up with the title of this lesson, When Love Meets Love. God has extended his love to us. When we love him in return, then forgiveness is going to come. When we respond to his love. In verse 48, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Again, Jesus says, your sins have been forgiven. Verse 49, they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? You remember the scribes and the Pharisees asked almost the same question in chapter 5 and verse 21 when Jesus told the paralytic that his sins were forgiven. And they questioned him, and he said, what's easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? And he told the man to rise up and walk, and he rose up and walked. In verse 50, he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. She had already been forgiven. Her faith was absolutely evident in the way that she humbly submitted to Christ and in the love and the appreciation that she showed him. And so her faith is seen in her works. Her faith is seen in how she responded to Christ's love for her. She had committed many sins in the past, but Jesus said, you have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I don't know about you. To me, this is one of the most touching stories in the Bible. No matter how many sins you have committed, no matter how bad you might think those sins are, you can be forgiven. You can be saved, and you can go and you can live in peace. And the sins of your past do not have to haunt you. You can know that they've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus came for that purpose. He came to seek and save the lost. And that describes every single one of us. He came to call sinners to repentance. Again, that's all of us. He has offered salvation to all sinners. He loves all sinners. But only those who recognize they are lost, only those who turn to Him in love, will be saved. I ask you this morning, are you saved? God's word clearly defines what we must do to be saved. We must hear the gospel, we must believe the gospel, and we must respond to it. We must confess our faith before others, and we must be baptized into Christ. Immersed in water, we rise to walk in newness of life. And then if we continue to walk in the light, His blood will continue to wash our sins. Are you a Christian already this morning? I think most of you are. Don't be like the Pharisee. Don't invite Jesus in and then fail to show Him the love and the respect that He deserves. If you have a need this morning, you can come forward as we stand and as we sing.